Fearless.
Chase.
Bold.
Following.
Courageous.
Search. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Marshall.
And this is
Undaunted
Pursuit. Yeah, if your microphone doesn't fall over while you're sitting there talking. Huh?
No. It's wedged like in between the cushion and the arm rest. So it's not going anywhere.
Good. Good. Well, it does sound a little better. Now, I mean, it's not necessarily professional quality, but shoot, it's better than the echo and all that. So hopefully. Anyway. Well, Sweet. Hey, guys, welcome to Undaunted Pursuit Podcast. We're glad you joined us here this week. And we've got Christian back with us finally. But then again, it's a trade-off. We got Christian, you were able to make it tonight. Marshall wasn't able to make it tonight. I was trying to get it to where we could be all together on the podcast, but things happen. And yeah, anyway. So yeah, glad to have you back.
Glad to be back, Mr. Shudaisky, and glad to talk about an amazing subject. Sorry Marshall couldn't make it. I do think it's funny that we both had salmon tonight. What are the odds of that?
Right. Yeah, no kidding. Hey, do me a favor real quick, though, because I think we're going to blow the ears off the listeners here. On that microphone there should be a volume control, I believe. Turn it down about half.
Is that better?
That's a little better. For some reason, maybe, I don't know. Hey guys, we're trying to get things kinks worked out here. We got Christian got himself a new microphone, and so yeah,
is that good? Test.
Yeah, it's you're spiking out a little bit on the EQ. I don't really know where to turn that down, but
how about that?
It's a little better. Yeah, just think about now that you're speaking into a mic that you don't have to, you can talk a little softer, you know what I mean?
How about that? Is that better?
Oh, wow. How did that happen? Now you're way down.
Here, I'll keep going until you tell me to stop. Stop.
Right there. Right there. Okay. Right there, buddy. Oh, that's beautiful.
Perfect.
That's almost like a Kenny G song. Oh.
We know all about Kenny G.
We do know all about Kenny G. You know, okay, hey, I told that story to somebody the other day. What were we? We were meeting with some friends. We ended up Sunday. We went up. It's been so nice here. The weather has been amazing. Mm-hmm. And we met up with some friends at the park, and the kids. Our park in Nashville, Arkansas, not Nashville, Tennessee, Nashville, Arkansas has like three different playgrounds. I mean, this park is amazing. And anyway, wow. The kids, we had to go to all three different playgrounds in the park. And so anyway, we got to talking, and I was telling them about, we were talking, I don't know how we got on the subject, but we were talking about friend circles. And I was like, yeah, you know, I've got a very small friend circle. And I was talking about you, I was talking about Marshall, and I was like, man, you know, I was like, Christian, because he's been listening to the podcast too, so I was like, you've probably heard Christian on there. He's one of my really close good buddies. I consider him a brother. I was like, we are so close that, you know, you know you're close when you find yourself rubbing another man's bare back when he's in pain down with oils, playing a Kenny G song when his in-laws walk through the door and immediately pause, not knowing what to think. They just kind of, it's like one of those cartoons where you just walk into something awkward and you just kind of back out real slow. It's like, hey, don't mind us.
I can only imagine what they were thinking, especially with Adrian on the couch just watching and me holding Ashley's arm with one hand, shirtless, getting oiled down by another man.
Yeah,
pretty special memory,
anybody,
dude.
If they didn't know any better, they'd think we were swingers.
Hey, You know, but you can't diss the Christianity flowing out, man. The
I know it.
True faith that required on your part to come in and do something like that was amazing.
And now every time my phone rings, I think about that moment.
As do I. No, we told that story too at our small group and had everyone in stitches.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
awesome. They enjoyed it as well.
That's awesome, man. I was, I don't know. Our weather, I guess, has been a bit warmer than yours, but man, it has gotten me in the mood to do anything outdoors, fishing, and just being outside grilling. Speaking of salmon, I don't know. What did you guys end up doing with your salmon? Did you grill it? I know Marshall's grilling his salmon tonight, which is why he couldn't make it.
No, Adrian put it in the oven. She, I guess, baked it, but she puts on like butter on the top and chipotle honey and just like lets it simmer on the oven.
I think
grilling is probably a little bit better, but that was a lot easier, a lot faster to just pop it in the oven.
My belly and my mouth is ready for some fried crappie. That's what it's ready for.
Yes, sir. We've had those discussions as well. We've caught a couple crappie, but actually I haven't caught any crappie. I've only been catching bass, but the kids love fish so much that I'd like to get them equipped with a full freezer so we can bust those things out and feed them to the kids when they're hungry.
Yeah. What's the, what you need to do, I don't know, I can look up a map. Is that a public lake or is that a private lake that you're on?
It's public.
Is it public?
Yeah, it's
like
public.
State-owned? Mm-hmm. State-owned?
It's owned by, I think, Duke Energy, actually.
Oh, that's pretty common, too, for an energy company to own a lake as well.
Yeah, they have a dam on both ends. It's basically a river that they turned into a lake. So they have a power plant down at the dam below us, and that's what powers our city for the most part.
Okay. All right. So what you could do is you could probably log on and or there's probably plenty of sites on if you were to get online and look up your lake and say, hey, interactive fishing maps or fishing maps for whatever your lake name is, and then get your kayak out there. And if you're wanting to target crappie, you could get on there and see what kind of structure has been placed. Normally, like the state fisheries or the state fish and game, whatever, would go out. They do it here. And I was part of it when I lived in Missouri. But there are interactive fishing maps where you can find trees that have been put in as cover for crappie recruitment and all that. So you find one of those, you get that kayak over one of them piles and you just sit there. And if you were just to throw out a jig and just jig that, man, you'd tear up the crappie.
Yeah. They're starting to bite. I wasn't able to go with my buddies last weekend, but they went, there's a good size pond. And they did that. They came through and they cleared it out and created a bunch of environments, within the pond for fish, crappie, bass. And then they refilled it back up. But they got quite a few crappie out there.
Nice. Well, hey, and you know, I like the picture now for the sake of, you know, Marshall's working on doing this into a video podcast and everything. But for the sake of a video podcast, there is, oh man, you can't even see it. There's too much of a glare. Yeah, maybe. Anyway.
There you go.
That's like a professional photo. That's a professional photo right there.
That was me selfie photo in the kayak.
I like it. It looks good.
Yeah, I was the only one to catch a fish that day. I was pretty proud.
Nice. Well, you know, from what I can see, is as warm as it's been, the water temps aren't quite there for fish starting to move up from the deep, you know, because, you know, in the wintertime they go deep. And then, you know, when you hear about fish runs and such, you'll hear about all those, you hear about fishermen talking about, you know, the fish are starting to move up or the fish are starting to move in, whatever. That's the lake's fixing to turn and fish are moving up shallow, in their pre-spawn patterns. And, man, that's something you always look for. That's what gets you excited for the spring.
Yeah. They said here that about 50 degrees is what the lake has to hit before they'll come up and start spawning. And I think we're in the 40 range. So hopefully,
Dang, really?
I don't know, mid to, Yeah, we had a pretty good cold snap, but it's been kind of playing around the low 60s and the 50s, but yesterday was 70 something. So hopefully within a couple weeks. They said at least here, March is a very transitional month, so it kind of goes back and forth a little bit.
Well,
But
oh man, you know, I don't know. And maybe it is by area too, because I was always thinking, and I could be wrong. I've been out of the warm water fisheries game. As you know, we both come from Idaho. So, I've been out of this warm water fishery game for quite a while, at least a good 6 years. So I've forgotten a lot of stuff. Plus, you know, if you want to get technical on it, I've been out of the fishing game for a good 13 years because that's when I started having kids. And you know, you kind of, as a father, you kind of stop fishing when your kids start fishing. So, I haven't paid attention to patterns, but I was always thinking that it was 60 because right now our lakes here, they're in the 50s, they're 55. So, I mean, if that's any indication as to what kind of weather we've had here lately. It's been nice.
Nice. No, that's, and I know we're talking about blessings tonight. That was one way God blessed me was I like to fish out of my kayak, and the last time I went out, we had four other guys that are in our men's group that all fish from kayaks, and they're all pretty avid about it.
Nice.
So
You
we're all out there and all enjoying the time.
That's awesome. You're gonna be like those guys I used to see down in when we lived in Tennessee. Well, I'd see them going down the road because there'd be a kayak tournament trail that would come through and fish that Cumberland River all the time. And so you'd see these
Nice.
guys coming with just decked out kayaks, fishing tournament fishing kayaks, and you're gonna be one of those guys before you know it.
No way, dude. I got my $300 Walmart special, my little stadium seat that I jerry-rigged on top of that. And yeah, everyone kind of looks at me funny, but I'm like, dude, it does the trick. And obviously, I caught the only fish, so don't diss my
Yeah.
gear, man.
Well, you know, those kayaks are nice because they can get into tight spots, you know, where say a bass boat or anything else wouldn't really be able to get into. And then on top of that, with a kayak, if you can ease up into those tight spots or ease up on real quiet on top of a pile and just jig or get in there real nice and soft, you know, there's places a kayak can go that a boat can't.
Yeah,
So
well,
you
there's
do
a
good.
just kind of a gentle breeze. I'll be able to. I kind of, I'll start fishing upwind, and then let the wind just kind of push me down the docks and the shoreline. And I'm not even paddling. You know, I could just keep casting
Yeah.
and let the wind kind of take me across. So it's nice.
I used to love that. You know, of course, I grew up on the lake, and I would the only boat that I had growing up was this little paddle boat. You know, it wasn't a kayak or anything, but it was just, you know, those paddle boats that you sit in. You get a rudder and stuff. But what I loved is in the warm time. You know, when it was nice and warm outside, I'd go and I'd just be casting the bank, floating down like that, just with the wind, feet in the water. And just letting my feet dangle in the water, or just fish the whole bank down.
Nice. Yeah, we want to get the kids a paddle boat. I've been watching Marketplace to see if there's any good cheap ones coming out. I'll find
Yeah,
one.
to buy them brand new, you may as well buy you another kayak.
Ooh. Yeah, or a John boat or something.
Yeah, for whatever reason, they're not cheap, but. There's nothing to them.
Right. No. Yeah, I think they're like $500-$700 online for new ones, like at least through Costco. But I've seen a couple of them that were on Marketplace for just a couple $100. So the ones I saw were kind of roached out, but maybe we can find ones a little nicer.
Yeah. Well, that'll be good. That'll be good for the kids. I know we may do with it. I've caught some nice fish off of a paddle boat. I used to run trout lines with in the paddle boat, and I did everything out of that stupid thing. But so there's a lot of fun to be had on them things.
You bet.
One story in particular, before we get on to tonight's topic or this week's topic. So my grandpa had come down to visit when this is when I was younger. And it's like, oh, hey, let's he was game on for going out in the paddle boat with me. But so I lived in a cove, and then you had to paddle out to the main part of the lake. And then you had to paddle across the lake to an island, you know, like through what would be like a main channel or a main part of the lake where a lot of big boats are going. And you'll find out why this is funny here in a minute. But so we get this grand idea. I'm going to take Grandpa to the island. So we start paddling out of our cove into this main part of the lake in this little paddle boat, mind you. And we're just paddling away, and there's boats just flying. I'm trying to get paddled out there. Well, we start getting swamped by the waves, you know. We're the smallest boat out in the middle of this huge open part of the water, and we start getting swamped, and the water starts coming in the back of the boat, and we're filling up. And I was like, Grandpa, we got to turn around. Let's turn this thing around. We can't make it to the island. Let's just head back to the cove. Let's go. So we turn it around. We get back to the bank. We had to dump out all the water, but those things very hard to sink. You could fill them with water and they won't sink. But I mean, we would have been sitting in water had we had stayed out there. But yeah, with my grandpa, they're not made for open water, like big open water. Yeah. But
oh, geez. Now they're like $1,000 now.
Oh, new. Are they really? Dang.
Yeah. The Pelican brand. I was just looking at them. The Pelican's $1,300.
Whoa.
Crazy.
I can get for another $1,000. I can get a bass boat.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
I mean, it'd be an older bass boat, but for another $1,000, I could get a used bass boat that probably runs pretty decent.
Dude, yeah, that's too much for a paddle boat.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so we're talking about blessings this week. Let's kick this off with what we were talking, and you can tell me if you want to share it or not, but it is a blessing. And I know that it kind of scares you, but last time we had talked, you're getting involved with the men's ministry with your church, and you got men's groups going on. How is that going? Because I ask you already knowing what it's doing, and it's a huge blessing, but it's growing substantially. Am I right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I started off with 5 guys, and I now have 30. And it keeps growing. That's as crazy. More people are kind of spreading the news. You know, there's guys like in the security team, for example, that are just going out, and even some of the women in the church that, you know, their husbands are enjoying it. The women are going to other women and telling them, hey, your husband needs to join this group. So it's amazing to see, you know, and I told someone the other day, I'm like, I don't really even care who shows up. As long as God shows up, that's all I need. You know, and
right.
People aren't showing up to hear anyone else talk. They're coming to hear God talk, and they're coming to study his word and get to know his word better. And the way that I've structured the study, it doesn't have any opinion in it. You know, I'm not digesting it or chewing it up for them and giving them my opinion of what the scripture says. It's, I mean, all the study itself is chapter by chapter, week to week. We're going to finish James, this next Thursday.
Sweet.
But what I tried to do to keep them on topic is have questions, like discussion questions that I hand out every week. And it's just one page, you know, it's not long, but what I've added in there would be like the verse. And then I use my Amplified Study Bible. And, you know, the footnotes of the study Bibles give really good context as far as like what's going on in certain verses. So I'll take that and I'll pop it into that discussion and just kind of give them that extra context. And then below, it's more like an application question. How are you doing with this? You know, there are a lot of you questions, you know, directed toward the toward the guy and saying, you know, like, how can you use this verse to change this about your life, or if it's talking about sin, do you have any sin still in your life you haven't repented of? Why not? You know, so there are a lot of like kind of calls to action so that in a discussion setting, hopefully they can open up and, you know, stay on topic, obviously, with the chapter and what they've read that week, but then also kind of start to apply it to themselves. You know, the Bible mm-hmm. wasn't written for you and not me. Everything in the Bible applies to every one of us. So right. yeah, there's things that doesn't, you know, I don't struggle with maybe, but it's still directed toward me, and you don't just disregard mm-hmm. it. You say, hey, you know, it's not something I struggle with, but you can relate, obviously, because you're a sinner like everyone else.
I like that. And something that kind of stuck with me on that was you're saying that you're not chewing it up for them, or you're not digesting it for them, that you're leaving it open as whole pieces of meat, so to speak. That kind of brings me back. So like a couple podcasts ago, you know, a couple episodes ago, if you guys go back and listen to that, we were talking about being a man, you know, as a man and a spiritual leader in your house, in your home. I wished you would have been on that podcast, but time constraints and other obligations wouldn't allow. Either way, you know, just kind of brings me back, because that Sunday, I think it was, would have been last Sunday. I'm getting my dates messed up a little bit, because of course the way these podcasts work is, you know, we're ahead now, we're recording ahead and things have happened. And either way, soon after that we talked about, and I think we're getting ready to talk about, you know, that last week's podcast was about hearing God's voice. All of it kind of plays in together, because the sermon on Sunday that at our church was also hearing God's voice, and he also touched on being fed. We got to get off, and this holds true for women just as much as men. We got to get off of that milk and get onto that mm-hmm. that solid food of God's word. I don't know if you have any expansion onto that, but that really sticks with me. I really like that, because to be a mature Christian and to be able to disciple like Jesus calls us to, you got to get off of that baby's milk. Yeah, and mature into solid food.
Oh, for sure. And I think that's where a lot of Christians struggle, and myself included for a long time, where mm-hmm. you get so accustomed to listening to great podcasts, watching sermons, going to your church and hearing someone speak. Like here, the groups that I was going to was like one person spoke. That was the small group. Yeah. You know, like everyone just kind of sat there and listened to that one person. And the problem with that is you're not learning how to go into the word with the Holy Spirit right. and learn it for yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're getting milk because you're listening to a sermon where that preacher is taking a verse or chapter, whatever, and breaking it down for you, unpacking it for you, and spoon feeding you the verse versus you trying to kind of struggling to understand it, you meditating on it, because like, man, this doesn't make sense. What does this mean? And allowing time through prayer and the Holy Spirit to come and walk you through it. You know, like there's so many Bible scriptures where it's just like, well, that doesn't make sense. And in the past, I would just go past it and keep going, which I don't think right. is bad per se when you're new, but now mm-hmm. It should cause you to stop and say, well, wait a second, I need to understand what this is trying to tell me. I'm going to research this. And, you know, thank goodness we have the Google and Got Questions and things like that where you can, you know, put in scriptures.
Yeah. Hold on. Looks like we have our other cohort here. Marshall, how's it going?
It's going good. Can y'all hear me?
We can. Yes, sir.
Sweet. So I attempted to join on my iPhone. So
can't
I downloaded
do
the Zencastr app, and apparently it's working. So here we are.
I can't believe. Well, we'll see if it works. Because yeah, your little timeline here, the waveforms that I can see are just passing by real quickly. So I don't know, Zencastr is not really meant to be used on the mobile, unless they've switched things up and I didn't know it. I didn't think Zencastr, they would have told you if it wasn't available on the mobile app, but.
Yeah, they've got an app out there because I just downloaded it. I just joined as a guest.
Sweet. Rock on. Well, we'll see how it goes. Nice. We were just talking about kind of recapping, actually, kind of where the Holy Spirit led us here on tonight's podcast. And before we were getting into the blessing portion of it, was that we were recapping what we were talking about, hearing God's word and then staying in solid food, and, you know, getting into solid food, getting off of that milk. And so anyway, yeah, welcome.
Sounds like some great conversation. Sorry for all the noise. Yeah, I'm just going to sit here and just listen to you guys, and if I feel the need to say something, I will.
Rock on.
I'm currently grilling and you know, got the best of both worlds, podcasting and grilling. You really, it doesn't get any better than that. This is about as good as it gets.
Well, hold on a second. Little side note here. It's already dark here, and you're in Texas. I'm in Arkansas. And Christian, you're in North Carolina, but I cannot believe you still got that much light there.
Yeah, we still got a good amount of light. That's what I was telling you last week. I was like, it's still pretty light here, considering where you are and where I am, Aaron. We're not that far apart, so, but yeah.
It's 5 hours. We're 5 hours apart, Christian, and he's... Look at how much lighter it is, and I can't really, I don't know if I can show you. It's dark here. I mean, it's dark.
But he's on Central Time, right?
Yeah, same time.
Yeah, same time.
Same time? Jeez.
Yeah.
Yep.
You got robbed.
I know, right?
This is God's
Everything's
country,
bigger
so
in Texas, you know, even the light.
That's right.
God shined his light down here a little bit longer. He knows we need it.
Oh, okay. So, Christian, I'm sorry. Go ahead and kind of recap what you were saying before Marshall come on here.
I was just saying that, you know, the milk, I think, for a new Christian is good. Because the Bible is, I mean, let's face it, it's hard to understand when you first get into the Bible. You don't know where to read. You don't really know how to read it. You don't know if the translation you have is the best. You know, a lot of people start off with like King James and, or New King James, and they just kind of get lost in it. And I think of, was it Peter that was traveling and he saw the eunuch in Acts, and he asked the eunuch, "Oh, you're reading scripture there." And he's like, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He's like, "How could I without someone to explain it to me?" And right. I think that, you know, for a new Christian, that's very much the case. They need someone to kind of help unpack it for them and help them with the application. But as you grow as a Christian, it comes to a point where you get off of that milk and having someone teach you and give you their opinion and their translation, where you should be communing with the Holy Spirit through prayer and opening the word yourself and saying, "All right, Holy Spirit, I'm going to go through this. Help me understand it. Help me apply it. Help remind me of it and unpack it for me." And that's where the relationship, I think, takes you from milk to meat.
Oh, that kind of spurred my my thought. Anyway, no, it's probably the connection on all of us here, Christian. Anyway, I still enjoy listening. I like to listen from several different sources, of course. You know, I listen to podcasts all day long as much as I can. And there is good in that as well. You know, to see the different point of views and where you get into your small groups and stuff. I really like that open discussion and that digging in. Instead of I never really liked just that one person leading your small group, because it doesn't really, people don't feel open to share what they're taking out of it. And so that you can kind of, I guess, debate it, for lack of a better words, or to at least discuss it. So, yeah, but not that we're saying
you need
that
different perspectives.
Yeah, you're not saying that podcasts are podcasts or different sermons or anything are bad, because you hear that from several different preachers that I've listened to. They they talk down about listening to podcasts, but there's a lot of knowledgeable people out there, and it's good to see some different points of view. And it's like, oh, I didn't think of that. Or most of the time, people spark something, and then the Holy Spirit just kind of gets to me. And it's like, and then here I am writing 2-3 pages of something based on just one thought from somebody, you know?
Yeah. No, I don't think that's bad at all. Yeah, I think listening to podcasts, I mean, I do it myself every day. I'm listening to sermons, listening to podcasts, trying to expand on my understanding of the word. But I guess the point would be, don't let that replace your private time in the word with the Holy Spirit. You know, you should be digging into the word yourself, and sermons and podcasts and... You know, there's a lot of like Christian books that aren't the word, where it's the author's interpretation or the author kind of giving some more context, what have you. And all those things are good, but you should have time with God on your own in the word and study it for yourself. You know, yep. I think like Francis Chan was big on that, where he said, don't take my word for it. Open the book and read it yourself, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And there's several times that I've got to go back and I look at it and I'm like, oh, hey, I want to go back and I want to read that for myself. Not, you know, because I want to see exactly what it says. How is it worded? And of course, you had mentioned the Amplified Bible, which I have one as well. I really like going back and reading it and reading more into that context and making sure that what I'm listening to is staying within the context it was written, and that whoever I'm listening to, because of course you have to double check. You have to double check everybody. And that's what we encourage people on this podcast to do, is to double check us and make sure that, what we're saying is Holy Spirit led and out of God's word and not necessarily completely out of context. So,
yep.
All right. Good. So blessings. Yeah. So I had this kind of laid on my heart that I wanted to cover blessings, and I know we're kind of running short on time for this week's episode. We may have to revisit this, but we're going to do our best. I think we can get whatever point across on blessings. And I don't know why I had this thought. God, I suppose that He just laid it on my heart, and it's like blessings. You know, I'm sitting on a thought. Of not a thought, but when this whole Arkansas move came about, I am convinced that I audibly heard God tell me that if you move, your family will be blessed. We still don't know why. We still don't know what our job is here, why God led us here, but there's obviously something, and we're slowly finding out. He's slowly giving us little tidbits of it to why we are here, and the community he's plugging us into. It is a blessing, and we are blessed. We are always blessed. We were blessed. He's blessed us with our kids. So what I want to do, but then not all the time is blessing a happiness, but here's what, before I jump too far ahead, I looked up the definition of blessing, right? Definition of blessing is God's favor and protection. That's the simple, raw definition of what a blessing is. Now, I looked up, I went a little further, and I went into dictionary.com, and dictionary.com puts it as it's a favor or a gift bestowed by God, thereby bringing happiness. And then also Merriam-Webster puts it as it's an approval or encouragement, also a thing conductive to happiness or welfare. But then again, you get to sitting and thinking about it, and not all the time is the blessing for you, or is the blessing going to bring immediate happiness. I don't know. You guys have any thoughts on it?
Well, Yeah, I do. I went along that same route. I looked up the Hebrew word most often translated bless, and I think we talked about them on the phone as Barak, B-A-R-A-K.
Or Barak, I think is means, the... Yeah.
Yeah, not Barack Obama. and that means in Hebrew, which can mean to praise, congratulate, or salute, and is even used to mean a curse. Another Hebrew word for blessing is Esher, E-S-H-E-R, which is also translated as happiness. And then in the New Testament, there's two primary Greek words translated as blessing. One is Makarios, M-A-K-A-R-I-O-S, and that carries also the meaning of happiness. And then lastly is eulogio, which is where we get the English word eulogy. And that focuses more on good words or the good report that others give of someone, and also describes the blessing that we say over our food.
Okay. Okay.
Interesting.
Now, I found that also that the literal translation of that Barak or Barak, or however you want to say it, it has a primitive root meaning. And that was to kneel, or kneeling before God in humble submission, which I thought was interesting. And I wrote a note below it saying, as a thought, in order to receive God's blessing on our lives, we must continually kneel before Him in humble submission. That was my idea or my thought that I had after reading the Hebrew words is okay. Mm-hmm. So to bring it all together, what is blessing? It's to receive that blessing from God, which I think we can all agree that it is some sort of happiness or some sort of favor upon your life, right? But in order to receive that blessing on our lives, we must continually kneel before God in humble submission.
Yep.
So I wrote down... I wrote down a few questions as like what does blessing look like? Can your life be blessed even though it doesn't appear that way? And can you stray from the blessing God has for you?
Can you repeat that?
Yeah. So I wrote down a couple of questions, like just, you know, as I was making notes for this podcast and doing studies, I wrote down a couple of questions that people would generally have when it comes to blessings.
Okay.
What does blessing look like is one of them. Can your life be blessed even though it doesn't appear that way? And can you stray from the blessing God has for you?
Yeah. I think... I was looking into just different ways that blessings used in scripture, and most like in New Testament, and you know, like obviously the Beatitudes in Matthew and Luke describe the happy state of those who find their purpose and fulfillment in God. So I think of like blessing in that way, like when you're obedient to God, you know, kind of like how you felt when we came to the cross, we were afflicted with resentment and regret over our past sins. And when God forgave us those sins, that weight was lifted off of us and we felt better, you know, or blessed.
Yeah.
And I think the same is true when you walk in obedience and you're walking in as much righteousness as you can, you know, you don't have that guilt following you and you are happier for it. You're in a happier state because you're obedient to God.
Yeah, there's so many times in our lives when, like you said, we might be experiencing that blessing, but it doesn't seem like it in the moment, because you might be going through something difficult or hard in your life, and you know, at the end of that journey, you look back on things and you know maybe God reveals the blessing to you after you've gone through it or whatever it may be. But there's been plenty of times in my life when I've experienced stuff like that, to where I'll be going through something rough and you're like, what is going on here? Why is this happening? Or, you know, why did I lose my job? Or, you know, whatever it may be. And in the moment, you're like, this doesn't make any sense. But at the end of it all, God has this huge blessing for you. And he has a reason and a purpose as to why he's allowing you to go through what you're going through.
Yeah, for sure. And here's the thing. Hidden blessings is what comes to mind on that. And you know, just think about it. You know, we all have our good and our bad days with our kids, but they are still ultimately blessings on our lives, right? So I guess a key takeaway with blessing when we're talking about this topic of blessing is the fact that it's not necessarily a state of emotion, right? Being blessed is not an emotion. It's like we keep saying, it's God's favor on your life. No matter how that looks, you know, that losing your job could be a blessing down the road. Just think about the thing that really made me think about it is, you know, for whatever reason, I was sitting there thinking about, you know, Moses and how he never saw that blessing, but it was the rest of the Israelites that saw the blessing. And just think about Abraham and how he knew that he was going to be blessed. He was blessed because his seed was going to, help me out with this here a second. Carry out the God's covenant, or, you know, was going to be Israel. And, but he never saw that blessing come to fruition.
No, you're right. There's a lot of, I think Hebrews 11, we call the hall of faith. And there's a lot of, you know, prophets that it calls out and kind of shows, you know, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. And what happened to poor Abel? You know, he didn't see a blessing of that. He got murdered. You see Noah, you know, like he had the faith and he did what God commanded. But, you know, did he really live a blessed life after that? Well, it seems like he made a nice winery or a vineyard and got wasted, and his son saw him. And, you know, like you don't really hear much from Noah after that. You know, I mean, to me, living in a desolate place doesn't sound all that bad, but the whole chapter kind of goes through, you know, like you said, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, you know, all these people where they put their faith to the test and trusted God, and there was a blessing that came from it, but they didn't reap that blessing themselves.
Yeah. Well, and while we're on the topic there, I had wrote down another question is, do the blessings God has for your life come immediately? And I think we've already answered that in saying no, they don't. You've made comment to that, Christian, and Marshall just pretty much brought it up, was that there's a chance that his blessing will come through future generations. Just think about it. You know, when you know, we both went through traumatic, in a way that it was like it was hurtful, stressful. But it was like we went through stressful faith-based moves, and you know, we get to where God was calling us, and then it's like, okay, your family will be blessed. Well, maybe that blessing's not for me. Maybe that blessing is for our kids, or maybe that blessing is we do know that God uses people to bless others, right? So it may not be a blessing to us, but we are to bless others, which falls in line with what Jesus tells us to do, is to treat others like how we want to be treated, and to carry forth his gospel in a loving and serving manner.
Yeah. Well, you look at, you know, the term is blessed is the man who God corrects. You know, and there's a blessing connected to that knowledge that God's at work to direct us in the right path. I think, you know, just like a parent, when you see your kid doing something wrong that's going to hurt them that they can't understand or foresee, and you correct them, let's say you take a candy away from them at 7 in the morning, you know, mm-hmm. or you don't let them eat an entire pack of cookies when they want to. You know, it's like they are not happy about that discipline at the moment. But then later down the line, when they don't have diabetes or cavities, they can look back and say, hey, that was a blessing that dad stepped in. And we tell the kids all the time when we're punishing them or disciplining them, we tell them it's because we love you that we're trying to correct this behavior. You know, like mm-hmm. a lot of parents probably don't care what their kids do, let them do whatever they want. But at the end, you know, like the Bible says, you spare the rod, you spoil the child. And that lack of discipline, or I should say from God's standpoint, the fact that he does discipline us shows that he loves us, just like a parent disciplines their child.
Right.
I mean, I get pretty upset when someone tries to keep the sweets and the cookies away from me too, but you know, I get it. Hey guys, I've got to jump off here. My salmon is pretty much done. But you guys are awesome. Y'all are doing a fantastic job tonight. To all the listeners, thank you guys for everything y'all are doing and for listening to us and following us. I'm going to get out of here. I'm going to go eat some delicious salmon and food. And y'all have a wonderful night.
All right, brother. Enjoy it.
Thanks, Mitchell. Good seeing you, brother.
You too.
All right. Bye. Okay, so what I wanted to get onto was that who knows if any of that saved? Because he jumped off. Yeah, I don't know. We'll find out when we close this out. But anyway, I had it written down here. You know, because we're getting into seasons and what seasons look like. And I wrote down an example here. That God may allow you to face financial hardship for a season. So this is just one example out of many that we could come up with, right? But, you know, here, this is something that everybody can resonate with is financial hardships or, you know, at some point in our lives, we've all faced some sort of financial hardship, right? So God may allow you to face financial hardship for a season. So in order to get you to trust him, stop focusing your trust in the material things. Those will, you know, as Jesus says, those will wear out where moth and rust destroy, right? Mm-hmm. That trust and faith in him during that time will mold you and will change you in such a way that when you do finally lay it all at his feet, you will be blessed. But as we're talking here, God's blessing on your life may not always look like what you think it should look like.
Well, yeah, and financially, I mean, he might be teaching you some lessons or preparing you for, like I said, we just went through James, and one of the main points that James is making is that your trials are to strengthen you and lead you to endurance, and that leads you to spiritual maturity. And, mm-hmm. you know, you think of someone that has been sheltered their whole life, hasn't really seen adversity, they're not a very strong person when adversity hits. You know, their perspective is pretty limited. And you have someone like, man, my grandparents that went through the Great Depression and World War II and all that stuff, they're very resilient because they went through really hard times. And I think that comes to play not only in the world, but spiritually, you know, like when you've had your faith stretched, when you've had to, you know, pray and ask God to put food on the table or make that next mortgage payment, and he comes through, that grows your faith because you see that he's faithful and he will answer and take care of your needs. And then it can also financially show you how to be a better steward with your finances. You know, when mm-hmm. you have more money in the bank than you need, you kind of spend indiscriminately. He might want you to be a better steward. So he'll bring you into a season of hardship so that you're somewhat retrained to be a better steward with your money.
Right. So, you know, God wants us to live a blessed life. He wants our lives to flourish. And so, yes, you know, blessed can mean happy, but better yet, here's what I'm thinking a better word for this word blessing would be, is joyful or fulfilled life or flourishing life. So if you look at... Yep. So I wrote down here, when we look at it when we look at it that way, we don't simply rely on emotion. We rely on what, on God and the trust we have in him, that he always has our best interests in mind and despite our situations. So, and you hear it all over the scriptures. Paul makes that's exactly what he's talking about in Philippians 4:13 is, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But what he's talking about is you can be joyful with a little, you can be joyful with a lot. No matter what the situation is, you're joyful. And because you're joyful, you're blessed.
Yep. I think it speaks to our, how do you say, like an inner state of our well-being or the prosperity of our souls in Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, like when we have unhindered fellowship with God, we're blessed in that experience. You know, the impact of God's presence in our lives is a blessing. And as you mentioned, you know, Paul is able to endure everything because he had God. It's like, you can take everything in this earth away from me, but you'll never be able to take God away from me. You know, you can, God's love is how deep, how wide, how tall, you know, it's when you know that, and you know that your life now versus eternity is nothing. And that even if you're beaten, even if you're imprisoned, even if you're ridiculed and persecuted, you know, at the end of your life comes eternity with God, where you'll receive the rewards for your faithfulness and your blessing and eternity will never end.
Yep. That's very good. Very good. And as we start kind of wrapping this all up, it leads me to thinking about what Jesus said within the Beatitudes. So how do you find favor in with God? How do you find God's favor on your life? Well, Jesus laid it out for us in his Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes. And I pulled it up in Luke just because I knew exactly where it was at, because we just covered Luke and we just got done covering that. So, blessed are you who are poor in spirit, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who hunger now for righteousness, actively seeking right standing with God, and for you will be blessed. For you will be completely satisfied. Sorry, I'm trying to paraphrase this out of the Amplified version here, and that's when you want to read something quick. That it the Amplified is probably not the best one to do it from here. Blessed are you who weep, and blessed are you when you when people hate you and exclude you and insult you and scorn your name as evil because of your association with the Son of Man. And then he goes on to say, rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for your reward is in heaven. For your reward in heaven is great. For their fathers used to treat the prophets in the same way. So I know that was kind of cut up. Go back and read. You can find it in all the Gospels, I believe, at least. I know where you can find it in Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 20. So
that's funny. That's basically what I just said, that last verse. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad because your reward in heaven is great.
Yeah. So, I mean, you want to know how to live your life. You look at what Jesus said in the Beatitudes, and that's, and dig more into that. We don't have time this week to get into those Beatitudes on a deeper level, but look into that.
Yep.
So, any further closing thoughts, Christian?
No, just when it comes to blessings, you know, look at it from a personal perspective, but also a spiritual perspective. And keep in mind that, you know, things on this planet don't make you joyful. They make you happy for a season, but your relationship with God and the spiritual blessing or joy will never end. So don't seek or look for blessings in the worldly things. Seek blessings and the spiritual things and the heavenly things, where you'll be much more satisfied for eternity, not just temporarily.
For sure. For sure. And I'm not saying this because I want the last word, but I just want to, I had one last thing I was saving for the end to kind of wrap it all up. And I know it, sometimes it can find kind of feel like I want the last word, but here's a real simple thought is when there's less of you, there's more of him.
Amen.
I kind of wrote that out as a final thought for this whole study is when there's less of you, there's always more of him.
Amen, brother. I love it.
So, all right. Well, that finishes that up, man. That was good. Thanks for getting on here with us tonight, Christian.
Hey, my pleasure, dude. It's always a pleasure. Love talking about Jesus. My favorite subject.
I know it. Let's see here. Well, I hope you can be on. I hope you can be on next week's episode.
I think so. Are we done recording?
Almost. We're gonna finish this out. Hang on, just a second here, guys. Hey, thanks for listening. Go ahead. What's that?
No, I didn't want to get all personal. Okay.
You're good. All right. Hey, guys, thanks for listening to Undaunted Pursuit Podcast. Glad you joined us here this week. Share this episode with somebody. And also, get on wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple, iTunes, Spotify. Leave us a good rating, review. And if you guys want to contact us anyway, message us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, X, Instagram, wherever you can message us on there. Or undauntedpursuit@gmail.com, or of course mail@undauntedpursuit.com. Either way, we're very easy to get a hold of. And let's see here. If I always forget something. Of course, Marshall usually helps me out with this, but he's got salmon he's eating on. But hey, Aaron Justice, I shared you've heard him once already. I'm gonna continue using his stuff. He's great. He's a great artist. Guys, he's check out his links in the show notes here, and go download his music. Keep up with what he's doing. We want to spread his name as much as any of these other artists we're using. I can't remember what kind of what song I'm going to be using at the end of this, but definitely Aaron Justice Music on social media. Check him out, and we'll see you guys next week on Undaunted Pursuit Podcast. Bye.
Bye, guys. Thanks for having us, and it's good having you. God bless you.
When you're in your teens, still chasing dreams, trying to figure out who you are, the next thing you know, you're waking up and your whole world is falling apart. In a broken home, I was all alone, when I heard a still voice say, I'll be with you through the night, everything's okay. No, I never met him in person, but I heard him call my name. Sitting alone in my bedroom when I was just 16. Nothing but teardrops on the paper and this old guitar of mine. Let me tell you about a man who saved my life. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Living in a house that didn't feel like home, and was hard to fall asleep at night. Making friends with shadows on the wall, and the thoughts trapped in my mind. I was falling apart, but even from the start, no, you never left my side. You were the light that kept on shining on my darkest nights. No, I never met him in person, but I heard him call my name. Sitting all alone in my bedroom when I was just 16, with nothing but teardrops on the paper and the old guitar of mine. Let me tell you about a man that saved my life. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. He's been there, he'll be here until the end of time. My hope, salvation, I am his and he is mine. Though I never met him in person, but I heard him call my name. Sitting all alone in my bedroom when I was just 16. With nothing but teardrops on the paper and this old guitar of mine. Let me tell you about a man who saved my life. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus.